Hello, my name is Doug Varro, president of loanofficerstore.com. And today's topic is going to be a product that's on everyone's minds currently, and that's the negative AM, otherwise known as the option arm or the pick a payment arm, and whatever other various names you can come up with, deferred interest, etc., etc. Now, this topic is of great interest to many people, because a lot of these have been sold over the previous 3 to 4 years. They've been around for a long time, but they became a very hot item probably from 2002 to late 2006. They're still out there and still are being sold. And again, this product here, as I travel around the country and train loan officers, I ask this question often, you know, is this a good product? And a lot of times I'll get more than half the class that'll say, no, it's a terrible product. But I disagree. I think it's a great product for the right person. So when I ask the question, is it a good product? Really, the correct answer should be, it depends. And it depends on a couple of factors. It depends if this product is the right product for the right consumer. There are consumers that benefit greatly from this. For example, let's say someone works on Wall Street, and they make $10,000 a month, and every January they get a $150,000 bonus check, and that's been going on for a number of years, and it's likely to continue. Well, they might want to have a low payment during the course of the year, and then when they get their bonus, send a lot of that bonus money right towards their principal reduction on this loan. So they would have a good reason for getting a loan like this. What about if they're sophisticated and they invest in the stock market or other high-yielding ventures that bring about, you know, large profits for them? Well, they might want to keep low payments so that they can take the money that they're saving on the negative AM and use that to make more money. That's another reason to possibly take out this loan. A third reason that's pretty common is if someone's a real estate investor. They buy houses and they flip them. Maybe they hold on to them for a couple of years. They sell an option on, you know, an option to purchase on the house to the people that they're renting to, or they just outright sell the property in a year or two. And you know, of course, they're taking a risk. They're looking for, you know, appreciation on the property to continue. And you know, if they're renting it out, now instead of having an alligator where it's costing them, say, $3,000 a month for their mortgage, and they're only able to collect $2,500 a month for rent, and they would have a $500 monthly negative alligator on their hands, well, by getting the option on and paying only the minimum payment, now maybe their minimum payment is, say, $1,800. So instead of having a negative outlay of $500 a month, they now have positive cash flow of $700 a month. Now, that's on the positive side. Of course, the negative aspect is that, you know, their principal balance is increasing, so they're going to actually owe more money than they originally borrowed in a year or two. But if appreciation is 7, 8, 10, 15, 20%, and the house is going up in value, is far outstripping the negative value on, you know, on their mortgage, then they're making money. But again, it's a high risk in you know, type loan, and it's only for certain types of individuals. I haven't named all the types of individuals. There's many people that will fit into this program. But let's face it, the person that this is not really designed for is average Joe lunch bucket. You know, people that actually you know, work a regular job, have regular steady income, but it's not phenomenal income. They don't have a lot of great investments. And you know, for them to get into this product, and 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, when, you know, the interest rates go up or their payments have to go up, they're not prepared for it. And a lot of people have been in these programs for 3 or 4 years, and now they've reached the maximum limit of the negative AM that they're allowed to have. They have to recast their debt, and they're falling behind on their payments. Now, earlier we went over FHA arms to show you how an FHA arm worked, and you kind of got an understanding of how adjustable rate mortgages work. index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. I also talked about the types of caps that there are. And the caps that are on regular ARMs are interest rate caps. In other words, they're caps on interest rate, how high or low the interest rate can go. And we had, there's an initial rate change cap, which is like on a 626 product. The initial rate change cap from the start rate could go up, say, 6%. That's the initial rate change cap. Then you would have, after that, you would have the periodic rate change cap and the lifetime change cap. But those are all caps on the interest rate. With the option ARM, there's a different type of cap. There is no cap on the interest rate. There's a cap, however, on the payment. So it's called a payment cap. Now, as far as the interest rate goes, there's a minimum rate that can be that's received, whether it's 1% or 1.75%, whatever it is. That's the minimum rate, and that minimum rate is really only available for the first month. After that, the rate can go up to the lifetime cap of, say, 10.95% right away. The payment will not change, though. The payment will stay the payment for an entire year because there's a payment cap on there. Otherwise, people's payments would go crazy. They wouldn't be able to afford it. And we're going to get into this a lot deeper as we read through the option ARM rate sheet that I provided you. Hopefully, you've already downloaded it. If you haven't, I suggest that you stop this recording, download the option ARM rate sheet that I have on my website so that you can follow along. Now, the rate sheet that you're looking at is an actual rate sheet. It's not one that I made up. All I did was type it into a Excel spreadsheet to make it nice and easy for you to see. But this is an actual rate sheet, and I'm going to show you how to qualify a borrower, what their payments are, and you'll understand what you're selling or selling against for the borrower. Again, a little more education for the borrower. Look, you're doing the right thing. Licensing is coming aboard by many states. 25 states right now have licensing. North Carolina, Illinois, a lot of these states. And if you violate, you know, any of the ethics laws, if you hurt the borrower, you're going to wind up losing your license. And loan officers are now coming out of the dark ages of just being, you know, used car salesmen to actually becoming professionals. You have to know what you're doing. And this training module here should give you a great understanding of how an option ARM works. All right, let's take a look at the rate sheet. And you'll see it says option ARM rate sheet at the top. And you'll see A100, which is the name of the product for this particular company. And it's a one-month coffee ARM on the top. Coffee, of course, stands for cost of fund index. And that is the index that we'll be using if we give the rates based on the top program. Program number two, which is A-141, is a one-month MTA, or monthly treasury average, and that's the index for that, is the monthly treasury average. Now, the rates will be a little bit different on that because the indexes are different and they change differently. So the bank is giving you an option of which one the borrower is going to take. And you can explain both of these to your borrower a little bit more clearly once we go through the rate sheet and you understand what's going on. Now, let's take a further look at the rate sheet before we actually get into the program itself. You'll see that it says in the middle of the rate sheet, it'll say 10.950% is the life cap. Well, that is an interest rate cap. They don't have interest rate caps, for example, every month or every year or anything like that. The only interest rate cap that's on an adjustable rate mortgage is the cap of the lifetime, where it can go up the highest, period. And that could happen, really. It could go from 1%, the start rate, to 10.95 the next month. Now, obviously, that's unlikely that that's going to happen, but it certainly is possible that something like that could happen. But they do cap it at 10.95%. You'll also see it says broker rebate is limited to $50,000. Now, if you're working on a $3 million property and you're making, 3 points, that's a huge, huge amount of money. So they limit it to $50,000. And look, let's be fair. Who wouldn't want to make $50,000 on a deal? And on the $50,000 that you're making also, you know, you don't have to worry about making any money up front. You can make it all on the back. But the more money you make on the back end in yield spread premium, you know, the higher the margin is that you're going to have to charge the borrower, and it's going to make their payments go a little bit more wacky. Benefit of that, borrower brings no money or less money to closing, and you can pay the closing costs out of the $50,000, and maybe you make $35,000 and pay $15,000 in closing costs. That may or may not be the best deal available. You have to work with your borrowers on that. But the only way that you can talk about it is by understanding it. All right, it says here that brokers will be charged an eighth of a point for not submitting a loan through DLE and not delivering a complete loan package within 30 days of submission date. So basically, they want you to do this online, this company, and this way everything is in the computer and it's you know, underwritten by their system. Makes it a lot easier. Of course, you don't have to use their system, but you're going to get charged an eighth of a point. Now, you'll also notice that on both of these products here, or both of these types of loans, that the locks are for 45 days. So on traditional rate sheets, you'll see you can do a 10-day lock, a 25-day lock, a 40-day, whatever the lock period is. Here, you don't have any choice. All locks are 45 days. Now, what I'm going to do here when we look at the rate sheet here, I'm going to actually make a comparison in a few minutes against unethical loan officer and ethical loan officer, because there's a lot of loan officers out there that just don't care. They don't care if they make the borrower bloody. All they want to do is make as much profit as possible. And look, I'm certainly not against making a profit. And we don't work on fixed rate. We work on percentages. And we negotiate, just like car dealers do and a lot of other type industries. I'm certainly not against that. What I am against is taking advantage of a borrower, you know, beyond anything that's considered reasonable. So instead of just doing one-shot deals, you want to get referrals and make more deals. And certainly with the price of homes around the country, you know, it's no longer where you have to close 10 or 15 deals to make a boatload of money. You can close 5 or 6 nice deals and make a substantial income. So let's not be unethical. Again, the states are going to be cracking down. So let's do it the right way. First of all, it's the right thing to do. Second of all, you don't want to lose your license. All right, let's take a look at the rate sheet here. And if you look at the top program that they have, the A100, that's the one that we're going to work on today. You'll see that the rates down the left-hand side all have 1%. Now, on a normal product, you know, the rates would start out, let's say they start at 5%. They would go up in increments, and it could go up, you know, an eighth. It could go up a quarter on the next one. So you'd see 5%, 5.25%, you know, 6, 6.25%, 6.5%, whatever it is. And as those rates went up, you would see that your yield spread premium, or the amount that you would make on the back end, would be higher. As you know, the higher that you charge the interest rate, the more profit there is in a loan on the back end, and that's why the lender will share some of that profit with you in the form of yield spread premium. Well, take a look at the margin on that column, the next column, and you'll see that there's a margin as low as 2.725. If you follow those margins as they go up, it goes as high as 3.550. Well, as I told you in the adjustable rate mortgage part, that the higher the margin is, the more profit there is for the lender. It's basically a profit margin. Well, that means that the payment could go a lot higher, and it's all interest, and it would be paid by the borrower in the form of a higher payment to the lender. Well, if there's more profit for the lender is going to share that with you in a form of a yield spread premium. So if you look at the fees, and you'll see that it's in brackets, and a bracket means a negative, but it's not a negative to you, it's a negative to the lender. It means that they have to make a payment on that, and it's in the form of a yield spread premium back to you. Well, with the lowest profit margin, or just margin, of 2.725, you'll see that we would be getting a quarter point in yield spread premium. If we chose the highest margin, 3.550, which would give the lender a lot larger profit and would give the borrower a much more wild and most likely higher payment, we're going to get paid a lot more money. We're going to get paid 3.25 points. That's going to add up to a lot more money, especially on the larger loans. The last column that you'll see is the prepayment column. In the prepay column, if you look at the very low margins, there is no prepayment penalty. However, as the margins get higher and the amount of money that will get paid in yield spread premium, and the lenders pay that at closing. In other words, they lay that out up front before they've even received one payment on the loan. But as the fee gets higher, the yield spread premium gets higher, the amount of prepayment term gets higher. You see, it goes from 1 year, then it goes to 3 years, and then there's a minimum 3-year prepay when you get all the way down to the margin of 3.550. Now, a lot of people think that a prepayment penalty is a bad thing. Well, in some cases, it could be a bad thing, especially if the borrower has never been told about it. You know, the loan officer doesn't want to say, oh, you have a prepayment penalty. But there's a way to sell that also. And when I say sell, I don't mean, you know, be sneaky about it. There's a way to present it to the borrower so the borrower knows what they're getting into. For example, I used to like to say to my borrowers, well, you know, you're going to get this very low rate on this loan. And the reason why you're getting this extra low rate is because you have a 2-year commitment period on the loan. What that means is you've told me that you're not going to refinance or sell your house for at least 2 to 3 years at the minimum. Therefore, the bank knows that they're going to collect these payments for a couple of years and they're going to offer you a lower rate. But if you go ahead and sell or you refinance, you're going to have to have a prepayment penalty for recasting your debt or redoing your loan within that 2-year commitment period. Now, of course, on some prepayment penalties, if I know that the borrower is looking to sell, sometimes they'll have what's called a soft prepay. They'll only have to pay the prepayment penalty if they refinance within that period of time. If they sell their house, they're off the hook. But in any case, that's a prepayment penalty, but I always tell them it's a commitment period because you told me that you're not looking to sell your house or refinance it within a specified period of time. Therefore, you get that lower rate. Now, if you're looking to refinance or sell your house within that period of time, perhaps this is not the right product for you, and let's do another product or let's take away the prepayment penalty, and you'll have a higher initial start rate. However, no penalty when you refinance. And that's a nice, easy way to present it. In this particular case, let's take a look as to why there's such a large prepayment penalty on this particular loan. On your rate sheet that you have, somewhere on there, take a pen and write this. We're going to do a $500,000 loan. We're going to do it for 30 years. Now, of course, on the option arms, most of the times they're amortized actually at 40 years. Even though it comes due in 30 years, we're going to amortize it over 40 years to further lower the payment for the borrower. But I don't want to do a 40-year term here. I just want to do a simple 30-year term, and we're going to do it as a $500,000 loan. Now, I also want you to set up two separate charts, one for unethical loan officer, one for ethical loan officer. You could basically draw one line down the middle, put unethical at the top left, put ethical on the top right, draw a line down the center, and then draw, say, four lines across. And what we're going to do is on line number one, we're going to put the word minimum for minimum payment. We're going to do IO for interest only on the second box. The third line down, we're going to do 30-year. And the bottom one, we're going to do 15-year. And all the way on the bottom, there's no more boxes, put negative am. We're going to figure out what the negative amortization amount every month that's going to go back onto their mortgage. We're going to figure that out. So we're going to compare one loan officer who's unethical to an ethical loan officer. All right, so let's see, first of all, how much money would be made on this loan with ethical loan officer. He's going to make a $500,000 loan, and he's going to give the lowest margin, 2.725. Well, the back end fee or the yield spread premium is 0.25%. Well, a quarter of a point on $500,000 is only $1,250. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not an awful lot of money on a $500,000 loan. I mean, you know, a lot of people in real estate agent, let's say they're making, and they don't make this kind of money for the most part, but they used to make 6%, even 7%. Let's use 5%. 5% would be 25 grand. Now, of course, they have to split that a couple of different ways, but still there's a gross profit of $25,000. If you're a loan officer working for a broker, you might have a split of 50-50, so you'd make what? $625. It's not a whole lot of money for working on a large loan like that. Now, look down at the unethical loan officer, and you'll see that if he's making 3.55 points, he's going to make a total fee of 3.25 points. Well, on a $500,000 loan, that's a significant amount of profit. That's $16,250. That's a lot more money that's made. Now, here's why the bank puts the prepay on it. With the ethical loan officer doing 2.725, they only paid out $1,250. Well, they're going to get their money back in a few months anyway, and most likely, most people that have this loan are going to be in the loan for at least a year, for the most part, maybe 2-3 years, whatever it is, so they're going to make plenty of profit on that. However, if unethical loan officer they paid $16,250 to, let's say the borrower for some reason, you know, sold their house or refinanced 6 months later. Well, the bank paid you $16,500, and maybe they're not going to get back all their money in 5 or 6 months. So they're going to wind up losing money on that deal, and what they wind up doing is they have a 3-year prepay. So anytime within that 3 years, the borrower would have to pay, say, I don't know, 6 months worth of interest. And if their interest payment, their interest-only payment at that time, let's say, was $4,000, the bank would collect $24,000 and still make some sort of a profit. Or at the very least, you know, try to break even on that loan. But they really want to make money on that loan. So they put the prepay when they pay a higher fee. Now, there is one other type of cap that I didn't mention earlier that does work on these option arms, and that's on the principal balance. Now, some states, like the state of Maryland right now, has a cap of 25%. So on our $500,000 loan, if we did that loan in Maryland, the most that we could add onto that principal balance, or the borrower could add onto that principal balance during the life of that loan, would be $125,000, because 25% of $500,000 is $125,000. So the maximum that their principal could ever go up to would be $625,000, and then they have to recast their debt. Now, in the state of New York, it's now 10%. So that means that if they took out a $500,000 loan, the most that they could add on would be $50,000. That's really not a whole lot of money, but once the borrower reaches $550,000, their debt must be recast. And that is a way to kind of, you know, make sure that the borrower doesn't go too wild with the negative AM and outstrip appreciation or the value of their house. You know, this is now 2007, and you know that, you know, in May, June of this year, 2007, that the subprime market really started collapsing, and a large part of that was because of these option arms to Joe Lunchbucket that wasn't able to afford the payments. They didn't know what they were getting into. The loan officers were just selling whatever the broker told them. They weren't trained properly. And so now the subprime market is getting hurt with these types of loans because the borrowers can't afford to make their payments. They were unaware of what was happening. And a lot of them are upside down in their homes also, because not only did homes stop appreciating at such great, 10-15%, they're actually flat or going down in value. So as the value of the homes go down, and the principal balance on the loans increases, you know, some people have loan-to-value ratios of 110, 120, 130% on their homes. And that is a very dangerous position for both the borrower and the lender. So in order to avoid that, it's best to explain to your borrower exactly what's happening. And if you tell your borrower what's happening correctly up front, trust me, you'll have a customer for life, not as a one-shot deal, and you will get many referrals from that. All right, let's take a look at how we qualify the borrowers. Now, you should have a mortgage calculator that you're familiar with. There are several types of calculators that are out there. You got the HP. You have the Qualifier Plus from Calculated Industries, and a number of other calculators that are out there. Personally, when I found the Qualifier Plus 3X by Calculated Industries, you can find one on my website at loanofficerstore.com. This calculator is really the best calculator I found for doing mortgage calculations. It's strictly dedicated for mortgage calculations. Some of the other ones, like the Texas Instrument or the HP, you know, your values, you have to put in your payment as a negative. You have to divide by 12 on certain things. It really can be a lot more complicated. Some of those calculators have, you know, sine and cosine and cotangent on there. And I like to ask the loan officers that have that, are you flying rocket ships to the moon? Because where in doing mortgages do we use those kind of things? And so I dedicate my calculator as a professional to being a professional calculator for the mortgage industry. You can get any calculator that you want, but if you don't have one, or you're looking to upgrade, or you want to get a calculator that's really an easy-to-use calculator, go for the Qualifier Plus 3X by Calculated Industries. Again, you can see I have them for sale on my website, but certainly you can purchase them anywhere if you like, but that's a great calculator to use. You should have your calculator out with you. If not, listen along. Now, what we're going to do when we qualify a borrower and understand that different companies have different ways to qualify a borrower. Some will qualify on, you know, the interest only payment. Some will qualify on other terms. What I want to do here is I just want to figure out the four payment options that a borrower would have. And first thing we're going to do is we're going to figure out for unethical loan officer what the payments would be based on that loan officer giving the highest possible margin to the borrower. So we got 3.550 will be our margin. Now, if you remember from the previous training, the way to figure out the rate is by a formula that's index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. I'll mention that again. It's index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. The index can be anything that the lender offers. In this case, we're going to use the COFI, or the Cost of Funds Index, the top program, A100. The margin, we select what the margin is. That's basically the profit margin for the lender. And the higher the margin, the higher the profit is for the lender. So, using that formula to figure out what the fully indexed rate is, we're going to go index of 2.676. Now, where did I find the index? Well, on this rate sheet, if you look down at the bottom, they supplied you with the index for that day. You have your COFI index at 2.676. Then you have your MTA, or your monthly treasury average, of 2.885. And you have your LIBOR, your London Interbank Overnight Rate, at 3.924. Since we're using the A100 program, which is the COFI, we're going to tie it in with the COFI index below. If we were using the bottom product, or the A141 product, we would use the MTA average of 2.885. So let's use the COFI because we're doing the top, and we're going to use the margin of 3.550. We're going to add those two together, 2.676 plus 3.550, and we come up with a fully indexed rate of 6.226. All right, if you put in your calculator $500,000 loan amount, a 30-year term, and an interest rate of 6.226, you'll come out with a payment of $3,070.79. Now, normally I don't worry about the cents or anything. I always just round it up to 3,071. But in this case, we'll keep it exactly what it is, $3,070.79. Then what I normally do on my calculator is I just change the term to a 15-year term and select the payment on that. If your calculator, you know, makes you, you know, get out of the program, can't clear everything out, you got to start over again, you know, that's a pain in the neck. That's why I like the calculator I have. I just change one thing, the term, and I can go ahead and figure out the new payment. Well, the 15-year payment would be $4,280.58. Then I go ahead and I go back to my 30-year term, and I just keep pressing my payment button, and it will go through a principal and interest payment, a pity payment, a total payment, and then it comes up with the interest-only payment. The interest-only payment in this particular case is $2,594.17. Now, I've worked out three payments. There is one more payment that I have to work out, and that is the minimum payment. The minimum payment will be based on the 1% rate. Now, I'm not going to give you what that is right now. I don't want you to work that out. What I want you to do is I want you to now go over to the ethical loan officer side, and we're going to figure out those three payments, and then we'll figure out the minimum payment. So here's what we do for ethical loan officer. First of all, he's giving a margin of 2.725, a much lower profit margin than unethical loan officer. All right, we're going to use the Coffey index again, which is still 2.676, and we add that to the margin. Remember, it's index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. We add that to the 2.725 margin, and we come up with a fully indexed rate of 5.401. We put that in our calculator with a $500,000 loan amount and a 30-year term. When you solve for payment, you'll come up with $2,807.97. Then I switch to a 15-year payment, and it's $4,059.20. I go back to a 30-year term. I toggle through, keep pressing the payment button, and I come up with interest only of $2,250.42. Now, here's where the surprising thing comes in for a lot of people. Let's say this is where the unethical loan officer may have an advantage over the ethical loan officer, because you're now going to figure out what the minimum payment is. The minimum monthly payment is based off of the 1% rate. Now, the minimum payment for both ethical and unethical loan officer will be identical. Turns out to be $1,608.20. That's based on this rate sheet of the 1% that you see all up and down that left-hand side. That gives the borrower an option of paying the minimum payment of $1,608, which is the lowest payment that they have available to them. Now, here's what happens when you compare these two loans side by side. First of all, if we're both talking about $1,608 as being the minimum payment, the borrowers are looking for a lowest payment, and that's all they're hearing. So if for some reason they like the unethical loan officer better, and that may be because the unethical loan officer, well, is not telling the borrower everything about the loan, or, you know, if they're not telling them, they're hiding things that are unethical, they might be lying to them about what this product actually can and cannot do for them, the borrower might go with them, and they quite frankly could get hurt. The way you combat that is you ask the borrower, hey, has the other loan officer told you about this, the benefits, this features, this these pitfalls, this could happen here? You know, you got to know both sides of the fence. If you just know the good sides and you don't know what's, you know, bad, you could possibly be setting yourself up for some future problems, especially payment and so forth. And we need to know that ahead of time before we proceed to find out whether or not this is the right loan for you. What that does sometimes is the borrower will call the loan officer and ask that loan officer, hey, you know, what about this? What about that? And if the other loan officer is unethical and does not want to explain it or does not know how to explain it, a lot of times they'll stumble over what they're saying. And, you know, it'll be, I'm not sure. Let me get back to you on that. Don't worry about that. Well, you know, borrowers are not stupid. I mean, some of them might not know anything, but they can get the sense when someone is really not being honest or truthful with them. And that's enough right there sometimes to bring the borrower over to your side. So now, let's talk about why it's called a pick a payment or option ARM. You see, these four payments that we've worked out now, every month the borrower is going to get this in the mail, and they're going to have an option to pay any one of these types of payments. These payment amounts, however, will change every month according to the interest rate that they're supposed to be getting charged at the time, even though they can make the minimum payment. And it's also based on the fact that their principal balance is going to change as time goes by, and so their payment options will fluctuate. All right, in unethical loan officer's scenario, how much will the negative amortization be every month? Well, a lot of loan officers think it's the difference between the minimum payment and the 30-year payment, which would be about $1,400, but that's not true. The real difference is between the minimum payment and the interest-only payment, which is about $986 a month, just about $1,000. With ethical loan officer, because it's a lower margin and the payments are lower, the difference is between $1,608 and $2,250 for $640. So right there, it's about a $344 difference every single month, less in negative amortization for ethical loan officer. The borrower would have less negative AM. With unethical loan officer, they're going to have about $12,000 negative AM if they pick the lowest payment, the minimum payment for the year. So if a borrower takes out a $500,000 loan, they're going to add on this particular loan with unethical loan officer about $12,000. So their principal balance at the end of the first year will be $512,000 instead of actually going down. Now, here's why it's a negative amortized loan. There's only three types of amortization that take place with the loans that we do. One is a fully amortized loan. A fully amortized loan is a loan like a 30-year loan that we do fixed rate, where the borrower pays in their payment, it's enough interest and principal is being paid to pay down that principal balance. So let's say it's a 30-year loan, fully amortized. At the end of the 30 years, there'll be no more balance due, so that the loan is basically killed off. The word amort is a French word to kill. So the borrower is basically killing off their loan. Then you have the next type of loan, which is, say, a negative AM, like we have, the option ARM or negative AM. What happens here is not even enough interest is being paid on the loan. Therefore, the remaining interest that's due the lender has to go on to the principal balance, and your principal balance actually increases. So it's the opposite of a fully amortized loan. It's a negative AM, and your principal balance is growing over time. And the third type is interest only. An interest-only payment, the amortization, the principal balance does not go up, nor does it go down. So an interest-only payment is a level payment, and if the borrower was paying that, that's fine, but most people will choose to pay the minimum payment, and therefore they'll have negative amortization. Now, the interest rate on this loan could potentially go up to 10.95%, even though the payment will not increase dramatically. The payment will stay fixed for 1 year. What happens is the negative amortization becomes greater, and they reach that limit of 10% or 25% in a much shorter time. Now, let's say everything is going along okay. The end of the first year comes up. The payment, the minimum payment now, is going to go up. But unlike traditional ARMs or variable rate mortgages, we don't have interest rate caps. What we have are payment caps. So the minimum payment might be capped at, say, 7.5%. So if somebody had a $1,000 a month minimum payment this year, next year they would have $1,075. And that's the way the payment caps work on negative AMs. Of course, you also have the principal balance cap. In the state of New York, it's 10%. So the most this loan could ever go up to would be $550,000. In the state of Maryland, it's 25%. So 25% of $500,000 is $125,000. Therefore, that loan balance could go up to $625,000. Now, I know I've been saying a lot about unethical loan officer and ethical loan officer, and saying that the unethical loan officer is charging the highest margin, making the most fee. But let's balance that out. I only used unethical loan officer to be kind of dramatic. I want you to understand that there's nothing wrong with making a fee of 3.250 on the back end on a $500,000 loan for a number of reasons. First of all, real estate agents, if they were to sell that house, they make 6% on that loan. Well, let's use 5%. I know a lot of them are making less than that now, but let's use 5%. 5% on $500,000 is $25,000. I know they have to split it and everything, but still, that's a gross profit of $25,000. And there's a lot of other people that make money on based on percentages and so forth. We're making a 3.25% profit. But look, let's say that I had a borrower that came to me that invested in real estate, and they're not risk adverse. They understand risk, they understand rewards, and they invest in properties, and their goal is to put down as little or no money possible, no money out of their pocket, use other people's money to buy properties so they get the highest return on investment, and flip those properties in 2 years, a year, maybe get a positive cash flow whether in that property. Well, in this particular case, if we were going to charge a high margin of, say, 3.550 and make a fee of 3.25%, we would have to let our borrower know that there's a 3-year commitment period. So they'd have to say, Doug, I want to be in this home for the next 4 or 5 years in order to do that. Let's say they agree to that, all right? Well, I'm going to charge them that high fee so that no money comes out of their pocket. This way, whatever closing costs are associated with doing that loan, let's say $5,000, if I'm making $16,250, I pay the $5,000 closing costs out of that, and I'm left with $11,000. And if I'm a loan officer on a 50-50 split with my broker, I made, you know, $5,500 or so on that one deal. The benefit to the borrower is a couple of things. Number one, no money out of their pocket. Number two, they get a minimum payment of 1% for a year, and the next year it only goes up 7.5%. So if they're renting out that property, they're assured that they're going to be able to at least make that minimum payment. Most likely they'll have a positive cash flow, which is a good thing. So now they have a positive cash flow on a rental property where the mortgage didn't cost them any money out of their pocket. And if that continues for, say, 3 years and the property goes up in value quite a bit, take Las Vegas, for example. Property values have been going up 20% a year. Sometimes they've gone up as much as 20% in a month in that area. Well, if they're investing in that area, they know that they're taking a risk, and here's what you tell them about the risk. Look, I'm not a, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know if property values are going to continue to increase in value the way they are, and they may go flat or they may go down, and in which case you're taking a risk. And of course, as a real estate investor that's sophisticated, they understand these risks, and it's a risk that they may or may not be willing to take. If they don't want that 3-year prepay, what you need to do is you need to give them a lower margin where maybe there's a 1-year prepay or no prepay at all. Let's say we gave them a margin of 2.5 7.25. Well, your fee is only a quarter point, $1,250. Well, you know, that's not going to pay the bills. That's not enough there. In that case, that's where you have to tell your borrower, well, I'm going to give you this lower margin. It has no commitment period at all, no prepayment penalty. But in order to discount your margin or get your, you know, get you down that low, you have to pay discount points. Discount points are nothing more than prepaid interest on the loan. It's like a seesaw. The less discount points that you pay, the higher the interest rate is going to be, or the higher, in this case, your margin is going to be on this loan. If you explain that to the borrower, they now know what's going on. Look, you have to make a profit. And if you're in a state where you're not allowed to charge discount points and make a profit on that, you have to pass all your discount points on to actually discounting the rate or the margin. Well, then you have to charge them what's called a broker's fee. Whatever you call it, it has to be a fee that's collected up front from the borrower so you make a profit on this loan. Everybody comes out a winner some way by doing this if you explain the deal properly to your borrower. All right, you should not be afraid as a professional to explain these things to your borrowers so that they can make a qualified and informed decision. The last thing you want is a borrower to be uninformed when they go to closing. Borrowers that go to closing that are uninformed usually will balk at the closing table, or worse yet, close, and then if it's a refinance on their home, they have a 3-day right of rescission, they'll rescind on the loan, and you don't want that happening. So make sure you explain to your borrower what's happening, become a professional, and explain to your borrower what's going on. Now, this portion of the training has been provided free to loan officers, and I hope you enjoyed this training. I hope it informed you as to what an option ARM is or a negative AM. And if you like this training, well, even if you didn't like the training, please, I'd like to hear your comments. And you can send your comments to my info@loanofficersstore.com. You can go to my website and find the email address there, too, if you don't remember it. My website is loanofficersstore.com. And on my site, I have other training programs that are available for purchase. I have a boot camp training CD set. I do that training also live. It's a 2-day boot camp training. So if you're interested in having me come and train your loan officers live in a live 2-day boot camp training, please contact me at info@loanofficersstore.com. And if you want to purchase the package that's online, my boot camp training that's online is a 9-CD set. It trains the loan officers on how to read rate sheets correctly, read credit reports, how to figure out P&I and pity payment, how to do sales with the customer, how to read programs. It teaches them about ARMs. There is a bunch of information that's on there, LTV, DTI, complete package information. It has a workbook that comes with the CDs. And also, I throw in one of those Qualifier Plus 3X calculators free of charge with that package so that your loan officer or yourself we'll learn everything from the basic strategy on. I look forward to hearing from you in the future.